Hello and welcome to another episode of Techsplaining. There's myself. I've just literally got back from Ignite, the tour in London, and I'm joined here by Rob Foster and what's your name again? Ah, yeah, Mark Rathley. We are minus one, so Stephanie unfortunately can't make it, so there will not be any show notes today. How are you guys doing?
Good. But I think we should also point out that you're at Ignite the Tour 2020. Just, you know, we don't know when this podcast is going to get, you know, actually published. So.
Yeah. It could be last year that I was at Ignite. Yeah. That's right.
I like to mix it up, you know, like the Netflix season style, you know. Yeah, it's cool. So Ignite the Tour, huh? That's I've been seeing. It looks like I'm experiencing some FOMO, some fear of missing out, because I've been watching Twitter and the Facebook post. It looks like it's absolutely spectacular going on out there. Some of the sessions just look amazing.
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, we got up early yesterday morning, headed down to London, stayed overnight. But the 2 days have just flown by. I feel like that event should be more than 2 days, because it's just, it's just been really, really fast. But I've attended some great sessions, caught up with a lot of other MVPs and so on. There was good community effort down there and everything. So yeah, really good event. It's very well organized.
What's the attendance like? Like, is it?
I remember last year they said they sold out at 2,500 attendees, and I feel like this year it seemed busier, but I don't know what the exact number was. So I'd say a few thousand at least.
Okay. How many sessions did they have going at the same time?
I'd probably say there's got to have been like 10 consecutive tracks or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Thereabouts, okay. Yeah. Again, don't know for sure. I mean, you use the typical Microsoft Events app that you use at Ignite and so on to just schedule the events that you want to go to and so on. So I was concentrating on the ones that I earmarked, but yeah, it was a really good event. It's held in obviously lots of different cities. If you haven't been to it, what's the URL for Ignite? I guess it's just ignite.microsoft.com or something like that. You'll find it if you Google it, Ignite the Tour. But there's lots of different events happening in about 32 cities, I think. If you're elsewhere other than UK, because obviously you've missed that one, take a look at what events are coming up in your area, because there's some really good content there.
I think there's one coming up in Singapore that I've been trying to get to, but I don't think I'm going to get budget for it.
I thought they still let you in Singapore?
Yeah, they do. They do.
Wow, I thought that they like banned you from that country.
They didn't ban me, but they searched me really good. Really good. There's questions like, I had trouble answering questions like, whose laptop is this and who gave it to you and why did they give it to you? I was like, oh man, you guys are serious about all this. That's cool. That sounds tremendously exciting, though. It's really cool, and it looks like, I mean, all my favorite speakers were there, so it looked like there was at least some really great sessions, and the feedback I've been seeing on the sessions was they were just amazing. And what I wasn't expecting was the sessions to be much different than they were at Ignite in Orlando, but it seemed to be like a different experience, right? It seemed to be either the sessions were similar but expanded upon or completely new. So I thought that was really cool as well.
Mm. Yeah. I tried not to duplicate the ones that I'd seen at Ignite, but I know some of the sessions at least were duplicated, but I was talking to Ben Summers, who's on the Graph team, I believe, or at least the Office Development team. And I attended a couple of his sessions, and he said, you know, his first delivery of those sessions were at Ignite in Orlando. And now he's actually had a couple of times to fine tune them. So he's chopped and changed them a little bit and made them better. So
So much has changed since Ignite too, right? You
can't. Oh, that's also true. Yeah. Your comment about being searched in Singapore Airport actually is quite topical. There's a seamless link here to the topic for today, I believe. So we're going to be talking about whether Power Apps is enterprise ready. Is that the topic?
I reckon it seemed to get a lot of buzz on my Facebook post that I had, but nobody. So the thing is, and to give some background here, we're trying to come up with a way to like roll out Power Apps and Flow on a very large scale, right? And everything I'm seeing, I mean, it looks like it's going to be great and it works. Everything functionally is exactly what we need. But it's that day two kind of the soft stuff that you don't think, once you get beyond the technology, right? Being able to manage the platform, being able to get insights into how much it's being consumed and how much it's being used. I just feel there's some gaps there. And I was hoping that somebody would come on my thread, and because my thread was Power Apps is not enterprise ready, change my mind, right? And I was hoping somebody would come on and be like, you're an idiot, and here's why, and here's the articles, and here's the documentation. You've just completely missed it, you fool. But I didn't get that, right? What I got was, basically, at the end of the day, functionally it works, but you're right. You can get this data, but you're going to have to mine it from all these different resources to be able to get this stuff. It's there, but you've got to go build something to go get it.
So what's missing for it to be an enterprise organization?
Well, just basic
application
stuff
in your mind.
Yeah, yeah. So basic stuff. Well, the development lifecycle is I'm going to give that one is different. It's not, I don't want to say it's not enterprise ready, but it's different than what we would classify in the way we would do it in Visual Studio. So I think that we can get around because that's just a new way of doing things, right? I think that's different. It's really just being able to understand the consumption of this stuff. Like, you know, basic things like, you know, how much of these things are being used? How much am I being charged for this stuff, right? Because there is a charge to some of this stuff as you start using it. And am I running up against that? And I looked at our, like, say, flows, for example. Our tenant, we've got almost it's right at 4 billion flow runs per month, which I don't think we're going to come remotely close to that. But how do I know which flows, if we do, how do I know which flows are coming, you know, are the most offender, you know, the highest offenders of that, right? So if we run into something that's a billion flows or whatever, you know, how do we determine that so that we can work with that team to either make it more efficient and all that? So that stuff's in the logs, but you can't see it from the admin panel, or there's nothing to really where I can get an alert saying there's something crazy happening over here. You might want to go take a look at that, right? I'm going to have to proactively either build something to do that or, you know, just kind of let it go and hope nothing happens.
Somebody call the ambulance. I mean,
what is there in the security and compliance center? I mean, that's effectively what you're talking about, right? The fact that it's in there and
It wouldn't be security and compliance. I'm really talking about the Power Apps admin dashboard, right? So a lot of that stuff is available in the usage reports from there. Security and Compliance Center, I believe, is mainly only focused at like policies. So as you put policies on different things, it's not necessarily, or at least that's what we use it for. Now, again, I could be missing something big here. So if I am, somebody please point me in the right direction. But the Security and Compliance Center is mostly for managing policies and, you know, how content lives and breathes in your environment and when it should go away or, you know, be disposed of or whatever. What I'm really talking about is the actual runtime consumption of this stuff. You know, like, say, for example, in Azure, right? Say I've got an app in Azure. Azure has a really good dashboard that tells me, here's what you're being charged right now, basically per minute for this stuff. And I can get in there and say, you know, what does my app look like from a consumption resources? So I can estimate, oh, hey, I might need to slide some budget over here to pay for this because, you know what, in this quarter, we ran something that does W-2s and it, you know, we had to up our resources or whatever. You know, so I can really get an idea for, you know, what the cost of this stuff really is. Right now in Power Apps and Flow, it's just turn it on and just trust us, but we'll charge you kind of thing. It's what I'm feeling, right? And that's okay, but I would just really, when you're trying to plan budgets, when you have hundreds of thousands of people getting ready to use this thing, right? It's that could be a big charge as opposed to a smaller environment where it wouldn't be, right? Where you've got 40 people or 100 people or 500 people. When you slam this stuff with 200,000 people or 300,000 people, you know, that could end up being a big bill really quickly.
So maybe I'm missing some things here. So It sounds like for the most part, you're just whining because you don't have a pretty dashboard that you want for the most
part. No, I'm not whining, but I'm not.
I'm just giving you a hard time. But so
I hope I'm wrong because there's no way to manage that, to get out in front of this stuff. If I'm not right, unless you have to build something very, very custom to pull this stuff and mine this data.
Well, but you already had to build a lot of custom stuff to mine the data you need for some other platforms. That doesn't mean that those aren't enterprise ready. Again, it's just it's not right there at your fingertips. So until Microsoft gives you that, you're going to have to do some work to get to it. But it's not going to be there. If you look at the trajectory of all this stuff, they're rolling this stuff out as they go, and that's why it's not there yet. But I guess to just kind of start picking apart your concerns. You can't go and take Power Apps, for example. If you're customizing SharePoint forms and Power Apps, you're not going to have to ever worry about getting charged for that in Office 365. Right. So why, you know, so what is the concern with that aspect of it? And I think a lot of this comes down to the fact that these tools are not enterprise development tools. These are not tools for your developers. These are not tools that need to go into your daily scrum with your developers on where are you at with this, and let's make sure it's in our dev, QA, and test environment. These tools were created to empower people to be able to create customizations without having to write code so that IT doesn't have to mess with it so they can go about doing their day. Yes, you've got to maintain and manage that stuff. But if you've got the right governance in place, you can say, go crazy all day long customizing your SharePoint list forms. I don't care if there's 5,000 of them out there. We've got to put the correct support in place, or we're not going to support you if you do this. But that doesn't mean it's not enterprise ready. It just means you've got to do more work on your end to set the correct expectations and to make sure people are using it the right way.
Actually, there was a crazy story Ignite the Tour this week, and this is the seamless link from the security officer at Singapore Airport patting you down, Rob. So this guy was on stage with Dux and Dana from Microsoft talking about his story and how he got into Power Apps, and apparently he was also on stage at Microsoft Build in front of 20,000 people with Satya, and. You still hear me?
Yeah,
cool. Everybody's still. So this guy, he was on stage, and Dux introduced him. He started working at Heathrow because his dad worked at Heathrow as a security officer. So literally, he was the guy that was telling you to make sure you didn't have a bottle of water in your bag as it went through the scanner and all that sort of stuff. And everybody was communicating. They didn't even have a work email. That they didn't have a corporate email. They just used their own personal emails. And he was saying that somebody's email that they used to communicate with their manager and so on was actually a Hello Kitty at something email. It was like a crazy email that they were using. And somebody from IT came down and said, hey, we've now got Office 365. And this is in 2018. And they said, you've got the rights to all of these applications. Go and play with them. And that was the message. But by the way, you've also got a corporate email address now, and this is what it is. So that night, he went back home. He worked shifts. He was getting up at early hours of the morning and so on to do a shift, and then going home and basically working through Office 365 and looking at what all these different apps did. And he came across Power Apps, and he Googled what is Power Apps, and he started following through a few blogs. And before he knew it, he'd created a Excel document. Created some columns inside the Excel document, had it linked to a Power App, and was absolutely amazed that this thing was now on his phone, and he could fill it out on his phone, and it's going to submit data to this Excel spreadsheet, and that was in OneDrive, and he was just completely blown away by that. So he thought, well, I want to go and build an example for how we could use this at Heathrow, and at the security desks at Heathrow, they basically have this book that in about 80 different languages, it will explain what you should and should not do as you go through security. And it's literally got pictures and so on. So that's what they use to show people if they don't talk their language. So he thought, well, I'll build it around that. So basically on this app, it was fairly basic, but you could just click on whichever language and it would have the instructions for them in their language. And all he'd done was basically scan those pages and insert them into this power app. And he showed his manager and they were like, oh my God, this is fantastic. And now he's building all sorts of applications for Heathrow Airport. And he got moved into the IT department and got a phone call one night from, I guess, somebody from Microsoft that works with Satya, and asked him at 3 o'clock in the morning whether he would be interested in coming out to build and showing what he'd done in front of these 20,000 people. And when you look at what he's done, he's really turned around a lot of the issues that Heathrow Airport were facing. There were some stories such as randomly people were given a piece of paper, a survey on the plane of their airport experience and so on. So that's how they gathered feedback about the experience that people had in the airport. And he said they were missing information because people were typing it in, couldn't read handwriting, so were missing parts out and what have you. And they literally had runners that would take these stacks of paper from the plane to different terminals and so on, so they could be collected and so on. So he's automated all of that sort of stuff with Power Apps. And I thought it was just an incredible story. They talked about how much paper they've saved, how many man hours they've saved, and so on. And I thought, what a fantastic story. And where Dux came in was actually talking about some of the governance side, because that then had to be controlled, because you couldn't have everybody suddenly building these apps in the same way. So what they've done is they have like a Power App Wednesday where Summit is the guy's name. He's basically been educating people how, what sort of apps they can build and controlling from that point of view. And now they have like an ALM thing where they can go through and release these apps in a controlled way. So that's a great story, I think, how it does empower those end users, lowers the entry to building some solutions. But it's, like you said,
I jump a dashboard for it.
How do we now control it? How do we now control it? Yeah.
Nope, we got to cancel, close all the programs down. There's no dashboard for it. Go back to the book.
I don't know. So, I mean, I think, in that respect, I mean, I think that's really encouraging, right? Because yeah. You can, I guess in years past, you would have had to wait for a development team to get involved and, you know, BAs and project managers and all this, you know, overhead that now you can kind of piece this stuff together and have a little app that does things for you pretty quickly, right? I mean, because I wouldn't imagine something like that would have taken very long to even learn and then build, right?
No, exactly. And you're talking about, small things that might take somebody 30 minutes to build an app, but it solves a really big problem. if you take that survey thing where, information was not accurate. They weren't getting the right data because of the inability to read handwriting. I mean, that's quite a big thing. But so apparently it's, they mentioned some figures. I think they said it saved the organization like £300,000 or something like that in the last year or something. It's saved 5,000 sheets of paper and so on. So there's some figures that they were throwing around, which were quite interesting too.
Yeah, that's cool. Hopefully Sumit got some of that money in forms of a raise or something as he moved over to IT.
Yeah, I would imagine. So it's quite funny that he told his dad, he's like, because his dad had no idea that he was doing this stuff, but his dad was kind of proud of him for following in his footsteps, working at Heathrow. And he said, hey dad, I've been invited by the CEO of Microsoft to go to Las Vegas and talk at this conference. And his dad was like, nah, you're going out on a stag do, or you're going out to get drunk or something. Didn't believe him. So nice. Why is my son going to Vegas? Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's precedent for doing these tools though, right? I mean, InfoPath and SharePoint Designer, exact same type of tools. Did we ever get any sort of reporting on SPD and InfoPath? I mean, we didn't. We had to basically go do a full assessment of our farm to find out where these things were being used, and it was a nightmare to migrate these things.
But we should have learned from that, I guess.
To some extent, we have. I think that both Flow and Power Apps are superior to both those other tools. Mm-hmm. And, there's... I
would say functionally that's true though, right? Functionally, they are absolutely superior to InfoPath and SharePoint Designer and all of that. But I think from a management perspective, they're not. I mean, it's kind of the same. if you think about that, right? It's not really, there's not a way to, like, how many list forms have been how do I know how many list forms have been created in my environment? Do I, and maybe I shouldn't care, right? Maybe that's something that I shouldn't be caring about, but I'm thinking about, right? Because I think about just, there's going to be a time to where somebody's going to call and be like, hey, my stuff's broken, you know, and it's going to be something that they've done stupid. Right. And it could come as a surprise to our support groups, right? Depending on what they were trying to do. So I think, and maybe that's something I shouldn't care to say, hey, maybe the governance would be, if you use Power Apps to customize this list form, we will help you roll it back to the out of the box stuff. But other than that, you're on your own. Knock yourself out.
That's how did I make a name in this SharePoint industry? By people putting a content editor web part on a page and throwing a bunch of script on it and getting something to work. And how many IT people hated that? You know, it's been going on since the dawn of SharePoint, this exact same thing. So
I think prior to SharePoint, even Microsoft Access.
Versus offenders. I think what makes Flow and Power Apps different is you do have to be careful about making sure users can't do things that would cost you money down the road. And I think that should be the big, I mean, to me, that's the big concern there. Otherwise, this is nothing new. If you're saying it's not enterprise ready, then you're saying all of those other tools had no place in enterprise either. So I think it's enterprise ready, just like the rest of Office 365.
You're saying Rob's wrong, right?
No, I disagree because if you compare Flow, the enterprise readiness of Flow and Power Apps to the enterprise readiness of Exchange,
it's your definition of enterprise ready though. Your thing and what makes it enterprise ready to you. Is the fact that you can control it like you control everything. That's your definition of enterprise ready. When the whole purpose
not
of
control,
these,
not
I'm
control.
I'm going to say control because it makes my argument better. My argument sounds better if I say control, so let me say control. But it's just like, but the whole point of these tools is to give that power to your users, so which means you're going to have to let go of some of that control.
I agree. I think 100% the users should have all these tools. I would turn them on today, 100%, if I could understand usage, right? If I could understand how they're being used, and if they're doing things that could, I think to Brett's point, cost money later, right? I think that's going to be something that is just today. If we turn it on, I have no idea what anybody's doing or how they're doing it or why they're doing it or if they're doing it, right? I can see flows and I can pull down some really basic reports and I can see how many times a flow has been run and all that, but I can't really have any insight into any of that stuff outside of that basic kind of very high level information.
Right. I think some of the sessions also this week, we've seen some examples of Flow that are really useful to organizations. And then we've seen encouragement to create flows that might make your own personal role a little bit easier. So, you know, maybe liking tweets or something like that. And I guess if people are learning how to do this stuff and they're throwing that out in an organization, in a large organization such as yours, then yeah, that's the sort of thing that perhaps isn't going to save your company money and is going to cost it. But
and here's why I'm really hoping somebody can point me in the right direction here, because I don't understand all this stuff to the detail that I need to yet. I don't know that anybody does, but here's what's concerning, right? I don't know if it's concerning or encouraging, or it's something that tells me that I'm missing something huge. That thing is that most of the people that I would consider hardcore SharePoint developers, so Chris O'Brien, Todd Baginski, all of those type guys are doing a lot with Flow and Power Apps today, right? They're doing a lot with it. And those guys are some of the most hardcore developers in this space in the world. Right? They're doing a lot with this stuff today, and I'm hoping that I'm missing something and they figured it out. And Chris responded on the thread and did some, you know, pointed me in the right direction on some things in terms of logs and stuff. But I've got to be missing something on here. You know, I it sounds like there are some gaps, and I don't think anybody will dispute that. It's just, are you willing to, the question becomes, are you willing to move forward with these gaps and deploy them and go forward with this as a platform?
But don't you think it's something that's not just related to Power Apps and Flow? I mean, even with Azure, you know, controlling the costs of things running in Azure is a challenge, right? I mean, there's ShareGate selling a tool so that you can actually monitor the cost of running things in Azure and so on. So that's surely got to be a gap as well. Mm. Is that it just is, not it the is. Way that Microsoft is heading?
No, well, it is. But I think Azure gives you very detailed insights into what's going on, right? If I know that I've got a set of Azure functions that are running and there's one that's getting slammed and it's running up the cost, I can have an alert on that, right? From, you know, whatever alerting platform, whether it's Application Insights or something like that in there, built in, that I can actually be alerted of that. If I have a flow that's going crazy or a Power App that's being, you know, being used to do something, and this is beyond the O365 license, right? This would be like a dedicated Power App that's, you know, an expense reporting or whatever it could be, right? You know, there's really not any way for me to set an alert to say, hey, this Power App is going nuts or whatever, or hey, this flow has been built in a way that is costing money, real money, right? You know, I'm thinking that if, you know, 200,000 flows or what, people hitting this flow and it's doing something it shouldn't be, or it's doing something that's running the bill up. I don't know that there's a way I can set an alert on that to be remotely alerted to say, hey, so you want to look at this, right? Where I can with Azure, like if I have a function or I have a web app or I have something that's, you know, spiking my resources and really running the bill up, I can set an alert on that and get an email and, you know, have bells and whistles going off all over the place.
Well, you know, so you remember how Microsoft was going to roll out the self-service purchase of Power Apps and licensing and stuff, and that got, you know, nixed pretty quick. Now it's something that you can turn off.
Yep.
I think if they had not turned that off and let that go and let these other departments out there that are not IT purchase the stuff that they need, I think that you would have seen a lot more of those bells and whistles and people screaming going off sooner than later. And there would have been a lot more pressure on Microsoft to get something rolled out sooner to show that utilization. So
maybe Flow, and help me understand this, guys, because maybe Flow and Power Apps isn't a platform that should support something like that. I don't know. I would think just from a management and just looking at this as a holistic platform that I've got people using things that are built, I would assume that I would want something like that, but I don't know. Do I?
I mean, if it's going to affect your cost enough to affect your budget, then you absolutely want, you've got to know that stuff. So I agree that you need to know this stuff, but I think that's also one of the reasons that I wasn't totally against the self-service purchase stuff. Let's put that responsibility on the departments. Like, you know, I've mentioned a few times now, when Pate Group goes into organizations, a lot of time it's HR bringing us in. It's the tax department bringing us in. It's not necessarily the IT department. And you know what happens every time we try to get something done? We run into roadblocks with IT because they immediately start throwing up roadblocks because that's what IT does. So I have mixed feelings about all of this.
Well, there's also the licensing changes that they've had recently around the platform, right? So they've changed the licensing completely. And now, like, if you look at Plan 1 versus Plan 2 in Power Apps, Plan 2 is shockingly expensive. It's one of the most expensive web platforms I've ever seen. It's $40 a month per user. That's shocking. You know, considering, you know, if you think about E3 is not quite that much.
Yeah.
You know, from an MSRP. Now, I'm sure you can negotiate a different deal if you're, you know, an enterprise or whatever. But the MSRP is $40 a user per month for Plan 2 for Power Apps. That's crazy.
I agree. When you just put pencil to paper, it's a shockingly expensive. And I hope, and we even did a survey at the end of last year. Me, Christian Buckley, and a few people sent a survey out asking what people's thoughts were on the Power Platform licensing and what impact would it had. And overwhelmingly, people basically said it had a huge impact on their environments. And a lot of times people are just stopping the use of it because of those licensing costs. So I'm actually hoping that something is going to happen this year to loosen that, where they say, oh, we really didn't think this all the way through. Let's tweak this and make it more realistic, because it has fundamentally changed the way we're selling the product.
Yeah. Well, and I can see if you've got 10 people, that's about what, maybe $4,800 a year for plan two. But if you only have 10 people, are you big enough to even need a power app? Right? You know, so that's the thing, you know, the whole mobility and things like that. I mean, licensing is a big issue with this stuff. And that's really kind of where I'm looking at this. And for the most part, I think, and that license is only if you're building dedicated power apps. That's above and beyond
customizing lists and stuff.
Yeah. Above and beyond customizing list forms and all of that outside of SharePoint. That's if I want to have a full-blown expense reporting system built in Power Apps or whatever, and you need to connect all these different data sources and data stores, and you want to use the common data service and all of that. All of that comes with Plan 2, and you don't necessarily get that stuff with the Office 365 Planner and I'm sorry, Power Apps and Flow. Plan 1 and Plan 2 is something else entirely.
Right. I mean, if it ends up costing you $100,000 to build that expense reports application per year because of just licensing costs, that doesn't count the implementation costs or the maintenance costs or the updates, Microsoft updates, the changes you've got to make. I mean, that's where it just becomes like, you know, we met with a client several weeks ago, and they were so excited about all these plans they had for Power Apps and Flow, and they didn't know about the licensing changes. We had to let them know about the licensing changes on that call and pen to paper. It was going to cost them $90,000. And they were just like crushed. Nope. They were crushed. I mean, crushed by that.
At which point you put them in touch with us for Lightning Forms, right?
Well, as an example, I'll just use our low end number of users that we have, right? So we have, I'm going to say 200,000 users, right? Times $400 per user per month is $80 million a month.
I'll do it for half that price.
Right. So that is the kind of dollars I'm talking about and why I'm saying it's not really enterprise ready, because that's a huge number. That's a huge number. You know, 80 million a month times, you know, times 12 is $960 million a year.
That's more than you make.
It is.
That's not how much it would cost. To be fair, that's not how much it would cost you guys. If Deloitte said, hey, we're going to go do this, it would not cost them that much.
Microsoft, right, but it's still going to be a lot.
It's going to be a whole lot. It's not going to be that. We wouldn't pay $1 billion for this platform, but it's not going to be free. Right.
Oh yeah.
You know, so, and that's really kind of my whole premise behind this thing is really not that we're going to be charged that much at all or anything like that. It's that I don't know how much we're being charged. And if we go down this path, what does that mean? What does that mean for consumption? How do we really roll that in there? Because I don't want to have to answer to my global CIO, and I'm sure a bill like that would go up to the top.
Right.
You know, yeah. Why did you not understand how much this is actually costing before you turned it on?
No, and you're right. But it's just, and when you start peeling back the layers of all this, like you go back to the guy Heathrow, where he built this great power app that used Excel spreadsheet in his OneDrive. How many IT departments are you going to know are going to let that stand? You've got an Excel spreadsheet in your OneDrive? Nope. We've got a scrap. We've got to start everything over. Let's sit down and let's start planning from scratch again.
Oh, they're endorsing it. Yeah. They're fully behind him. He's now part of the IT department.
until he leaves the company and they forget about it and they disable his OneDrive account and the application goes down for the entire world. So,
Let's hope not.
But it's stuff like that, right? It's stuff like that I want to know. Did somebody build an application that's being run based on data in their OneDrive, right? It's stuff like that I want to reach out to these teams and go, hey, man, you might want to look at this and move this into a team or into a SharePoint site somewhere to where it's not all reliant on your OneDrive. Because that's entirely possible to do, right? You can throw a data store out in your OneDrive, whatever it is, and start connecting to it and going crazy. And then all of a sudden, you've got a ton of users using that. And then you leave the company and the whole app goes down.
But see, I think this could also be where you have governance in place around this. It's like, is this app for your department and it's not business critical? Go do whatever the heck you want to do. Or is this something that is going to be critical to the entire company? It's going to have mass adoption. Well, maybe something like that shouldn't be done by an end user in HR. I mean, that's
well, and that's the thing. For a small to medium sized company, I think you can easily reach out and touch all those people and explain the rules and send the communications out and do all that stuff and touch them. When you're spanning this across 200,000 users, it's going to be impossible to be able to get to all of them.
That's what Yammer's for. No.
Well, yeah, yeah. Again, impossible to get to all those people. but you know, you know what I'm saying. I mean, you can get to the ones that are critical, right? But it's the ones that aren't that do things like this. And there's nothing wrong with doing it like that. Technically, it works. But I want to be able to at least guide them so that if they are creating this thing, I can catch it early and then give them the right guidance to go out and do it the right way. Because yeah. I do want them to, if they're going to do something like this, that's awesome. And it's going to be groundbreaking and change the way our people work, which I do want them to do. I want them to do it the right way. Not that it's any more complicated, just put your data here instead of there. It's going to be, that's going to be stuff that's really the majority of the governance around this stuff, right?
Agreed. I mean, we'll give you it, Rob.
I need a dashboard. I need a dashboard.
Give Rob his dashboard. Hashtag give Rob his dashboard. Let's get that.
I hope I didn't beat you guys down. And again, maybe I'm missing something huge. No, I hope I am.
Well, but of course, I agree with everything you're saying. Of course. But then I'm going to go to the reality of look what's already happening with things like SharePoint Designer. InfoPath, Content Editor, Web Parts, the legacy of what we're having to deal with today. And then it's a painful legacy. We should learn from that. But the actual ability to do this sort of development is absolutely nothing new. The enterprise has been doing it for decades now. So this is just the next iteration of that. And we definitely need the dashboard you're talking about. So I'm doing devil's advocate and all this stuff.
But on the other side, though, I really do want the people to have the tools in their hands to be the most efficient at their jobs, right? Because it shouldn't require them, you know, a lot of times knowing how to do a VBA macro in Excel to do things. It shouldn't require, you know, any kind of major coding skills. The majority of this stuff can be wired together today, right, without any coding, kind of like Sumit there at Heathrow, right? He wired that stuff up. He's not a coder. He just found an innovative solution to help him do his job better and the people around him do their jobs better. And that's what I think is the most exciting part of this platform. That's a game changer for people like us, right? Because we've got a lot of people spending a lot of hours doing stuff that they could automate or stuff that they could do more efficiently.
Could I put something out there that maybe it is enterprise ready, but the licensing and the way that you pay for this tool is completely wrong?
That I would say, yeah. I would say that's one component. I would say the way that you manage and monitor. I think licensing is one component. I think monitoring, but monitoring would be another component.
If you weren't paying for each flow that's executed, if it was licensed in a different way, if it was just per user licensing or something like that, that you could control it, then you wouldn't need to know how many flows are running and how much money that's costing you.
So let me ask you this, and this is something I don't know. If you turn this on, like say you turn Power Apps and Flow on for E3, right? It's for Office 365, for not E3, but for Office 365, can I go to flow.microsoft.com and create a flow that's yes. outside of the bounds of
outside of the bounds. Ugh. Not if you're not licensed. You can't use premium features if you're not licensed for premium features.
Right, right. So those features are hidden.
Or you don't have access.
I don't think they're hidden. So things like the templates, right? So there's, if you go to flow.microsoft.com, there's a bunch of templates out there.
You see the templates, but you can't use them.
Right. And I try to use one, I get an error when after I've created it and I go from there. I wish that there was a better way to hide those things, right? To where you only saw.
No one's going to buy them then.
Well,
that's against marketing. There, they want people to see the ones they can't buy, so they get bought. I mean, that's just the reality of it, right? They want you to know it's there, so you can go bug IT, so you can spend the money and get the extra stuff. But here's the thing.
Okay. Even beyond that, if it's not in my data policy as explicitly allowed, if I explicitly disallow Google Drive right? I don't want to see any templates or anything out there because I've got that disabled through policy, but I think I do. I think those things are still out there if you even disable them.
I think so. Someone could tell us if we're wrong, but here's something else I don't know if you knew. Even if you don't give somebody a Flow license, anybody can sign up for Flow for 30 days. Mm-hmm. And they can start using it for 30 days, and they can use it for 30 days. And then they can use Flow in your SharePoint environment for 30 days and get a business critical app going in 30 days. And then it stops working because they're not licensed for it.
That's awesome. Microsoft's like, they're like a dank drug dealer, man.
Oh, we all are. Get off your high horse.
Hey, man. Hey, you want some candy?
I got a dashboard. You like pie charts? I got pie charts here.
Oh, gosh. That's fantastic.
All right.
What about, so let me ask you this, Brett, kind of going back to the guy at Heathrow. Mm-hmm. How has his life changed? Did he talk about how his life has changed since he's, because I'm assuming it's a completely different, you know, he's working with different people. I want to talk about the soft side of this, kind of as we move off of the topic of Power Apps and Flow, you know, the more of the humans and IT stuff, right? Mm-hmm. How has his life changed since he's done this?
Dramatically, yeah. That was touched upon. First of all, the hours that he was working, you know, shifts. He was, in fact, I think I was wrong earlier when I said he did the early shift. I think he did the late shift because he didn't like early shifts. So he was working nights. And for that reason, that was when he would get home at sort of 2, 3 a.m. And that's when he'd start building Power Apps.
He's already a coder. That's our hours.
I believe now he works mostly at home. He has weekends to himself. He doesn't have to work weekends and so on. His family are all completely proud of him, for what he's done. Incredible. In fact, he didn't know when he was stood on stage with Satya that, I mean, he didn't know how many people were going to be in the audience. That shocked him when he realized it was like going to be 12 or 13,000 or whatever it was. But then he was told it was being recorded live and available all around the world. He was apparently shaking and extremely nervous. And he sent the link to his dad because his dad still thought he was going off to Las Vegas to go and get drunk. And apparently his dad was like, I've sent that to everybody in India, you know. I'm like, so proud of you. I think it's been a real game changer for him. Apparently, he was saying how he failed maths and he failed English at school and so on.
I can relate.
Yeah. it's been definitely a game changer for him. Yeah. He was there at the MVP party last night as well. He was talking to
everybody. Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah, it was really neat. So
embrace Power Apps and Flow and change your career overnight.
There you go.
That's what you're
there
saying.
Yeah.
He doesn't but just not at Rob's Enterprise.
That's right.
Until he gets his dashboard.
All right. This is between me and going out. I guess I'm not drinking. I'm still on dry January, but I've got me some non-alcoholic beer for tonight.
I thought you had wine. And they make non-alcoholic beer in England? What's up with that?
I bought. I've not tried it yet. But have you heard of BrewDog?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they do.
The Scottish guys that do beer.
Yeah, they do several different non-alcoholic beers.
I didn't know they sold Miller Lite over there.
Yeah. So we're only just halfway through January. It feels like a lifetime ago since New Year's Eve now. But
Well, I'll be in Zurich next week, so I'm expecting them to have some pretty decent beer in that region.
Yeah, just get ready to pay for it though.
It's expensive, right?
Yeah. Yep. Zurich is expensive. No way around it.
Yeah, I can tell by the flight and the hotel. It's not a cheap destination at all.
Yeah. And you're in touch with Sibby, right?
With who?
I think he replied.
Yes.
On Tuesday, so.
Yeah. Hopefully we can get together and see that. Hopefully he can show me an Alp. I want to see an Alp.
What do I say to that? You can take Rob out of Tennessee, but you can't take Tennessee out of Rob.
I've never seen an Alp. I want to see an Alp.
Okay. I've seen the French Alps from a distance, but that's about it.
You got to see that in a bit more detail. I used to drive to see my sister when she lived in northern Italy. And so you drive through the Alps. And
oh, nice.
When you look down on villages, I don't know, God knows how many feet down they were, but it actually looked like a little kid's toy train going along and little toy houses something. But yeah, it was really incredible.
That's awesome. Yeah, I want to see that. I doubt I'll see that from Zurich. I think they're more on a plateau, but
yeah, still very pretty place. You'll like it.
I'm looking forward to it. It's my first time in Sweden. I always enjoy Europe.
Good job. It's not Sweden.
Sweden. Switzerland. So it wasn't just me. I'm okay. Good.
Yeah. Oh, first time in Switzerland as well. Same thing, right?
Americans. Gosh.
Oh, man.
Tell me you're going to be wearing a plaid shirt and talking really loud.
Show me an Alp. Oh, Lord.
Is that an Alp? Is that an Alp?
All right. That's if you see an Alp, you got to post it to the Tech Explaining Facebook page.
Look, an Alp.
That's the deal. Yeah. As you're coming into land, look, lots of Alps. These Alps have been breeding.
Are you sure you haven't been drinking, Brett?
Mark, where are you off to next? Are you traveling anywhere?
Actually, I just got home an hour ago from Oklahoma City. So that is the Switzerland of the Midwest. But yeah, so I'm actually home for a couple of weeks.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, hope you guys are rooting on. I know you're probably closer to Kansas City. I don't know. You might be closer to Nashville than Kansas City.
No. Kansas City's only 3.5 hours away. Nashville's about 9 hours.
All right. Yeah. So you're probably, who are you pulling for in the Nashville plays Kansas City this week, or the Tennessee Titans play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship?
Oh, the Patriots for sure.
They done got beat.
Well, no, they're going to find a way to cheat to get back into the Super Bowl.
They might. Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good game. Our Titans are going to hopefully take it, but it wouldn't surprise me if they don't. But if they, it would surprise me if they did.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the Kansas City Chiefs fans are saying the same thing. So.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I think this is a good time to wrap. Do you guys have any parting advice, Brett? Since you, what was the overall takeaway from Ignite the Tour?
You can use power apps to water a bonsai tree.
Can you now?
Mm-hmm.
That will be very, very useful at my company.
That was actually a real live demonstration. Yeah, an Internet of Things with power apps on Flow and so on. Yeah, we saw it squirt water on stage through a Flow with a power app. It was pretty cool. I usually go and attend a lot of SharePoint-related sessions or Teams or something, but I made a point of going to power apps and Flow sessions. And yeah, I think it's been quite enlightening to see some different stories, seeing how it has been used in organizations. I think it is really taken off. So yeah, it's good to see.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, if anybody has any questions or comments, feel free to email us at info@techexplaining.net. And other than that, I will see you guys on the flip flop.
Enjoy Switzerland. Send us pictures.
Yes. Not right. Sweden. If I not end up Sweden. In Sweden, I'm going to be lost.
Yeah. Or is there any Alps there? Yeah. No Alps in Sweden.
Victor Villian, I'll find him if I land in Sweden.
There you go.
So, all right, guys. Well, thanks a lot. And for all the listeners, thank you for listening and putting up with us. And we will come at you again soon.
Ciao.